Lime Creek falls down out of the high mountains and cuts across the ranch, and later joins up with Lost Horse Creek, which pretty soon runs into Crazy Woman Creek, running northerly into the Powder River. And the Powder runs strong and hard all the way up into the Yellowstone, which it meets up in Montana. And the Yellowstone swelling all the time with all the waters it's collected from the Bighorn and the Rosebud and the Tongue and the Powder rushes further northward and easterly too, until it finally joins the Missouri at the western border of Dakota. And the Missouri's come all the way across Montana, a hard journey too, from the high mountains of its own breeding. And when it gathers the Yellowstone, it finally feels itself big enough to relax itself into its fall southward, growing all the while as it bisects both the Dakotas on its far inevitable journey to the sea. And the mountain snows that melt and run along some crevice formed by shoulders of stone at 13,000 and then 12,000 feet, and then continue through the tundra running along the same timeless track of earth that some dead soul perhaps took from a Sioux or a Crow brave, or perhaps from an old Cheyenne squaw, and called that eternal runnel of icy clear water in his own tongue, Lime Creek. And through wonderful good fortune, that special stream bathes silver-colored fish that I have eaten, turning their flesh into my own, and watered animals that I have loved, that have been the teachers and the artificers of my soul, the water forever falling, forever running downhill with yet its taste of the distant snows of its birthing. Return. A dazzling contradiction. The waterhole fading as you approach it, the gray that gathers, the lines that deepen, the dead and the dying, and the new lives blooming and flowered in the wind. For there is no returning, and we knew it all along as we dreamt of what we left, of what was finished and put away. And so it is not the myth of returning that we hold to, all our fairy tales long since spoiled, like broken dolls dashed to pieces in the stairless, dungeon-like attic, but to bear witness perhaps to some scene of far innocence, some unremembered gaiety fallen to dust and dimly potted with ancient tulips, or still filtering the sun through a dirty window, not even to hold the scene now magnified and embellished in the incubator of desire, those endless rocking nights, but simply to be there once again, the frostbitten toes and the tree deep from the evergreen forest, all the more wondrous, standing and lit with candles.